those are free from anger and all material desires, who are self-realized, self-disciplined, and constantly endeavoring for perfection, are assured of liberation in the Supreme in the very near future. So, first thing is that suppose somebody speaks of me very harshly, naturally we become angry. Just like somebody calls me, "You are dog," or "You are hog." But if I am self-realized, if I know perfectly well that I am not this body, so you call me dog, hog, or king, emperor, majesty, what is that? I am not this body. So either you call me your majesty, or you call me a dog or a pig, what I have got to do? I am neither his majesty, nor a dog, nor a cat, nothing of the sort. I am servant of Krishna. So this requires little training. Actually, this is the fact. Suppose I have got some dress, black dress. Somebody calls you black dress. Is that cause of anger? Somebody calls you black dress. So this is simply my false identification with the dress that I become angry. Actually, if I am self-realized, self-discipline means not to identify this body. That is self-discipline. It requires training, of course. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu teaches, therefore, Trinadupi Sunichena, they're smaller than the smallest glass. Actually, if I realize what is the spiritual dimension, actually my dimension, length and breadth, you cannot measure, because I am actually a very small spiritual particle. You cannot measure 1/10,000 part of the tip of your hair. That is my measurement. So if I am smaller than the grass, that's a fact. I'm still smaller, I do not know how small I am. But I'm thinking of this body, an elephant is thinking that I am so big, or a man is thinking I am so big, ant is thinking I am so small. This smallness, bigness is due to this body. That's why in Bhagavad Gita I will find Pandita Samadarshana, one who is learned. He does not see the small body or big body. He sees the particle of soul, spirit soul. Therefore, Samadarshan. He knows that the small particle of spirit is there in the ant and in the elephant. Therefore, he sees the elephant and the ant on the same level on spiritual reason, not on this external reason. This is called self-realization. Self-realization, you have heard so many times. What is that self-realization? Self-realization means, I am not this body. I am spirit soul. That is self-realization. So if I am smaller than the grass, then if somebody says that you are lower than the grass or you are smaller than the grass, that's a fact. So, sometimes it's insulting. Words may come from others, but if you are self-realized, you know that I am not this body. So, let me insult, let me tolerate. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu teaches that karo rupi sahishu. Toleration like the tree. best example. You cannot find any tolerant living entities than a tree, because it is standing day and night in scorching heat, in severe cold. There is wind, there is rainfall. It does not make any protest, standing, tolerant. People are taking leaves, flowers, fruits, cutting, and never protest. This is a symbol of tolerance. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu recommends that you become tolerant than the tree and smaller than the small grass on the street, and you give all honor to others and don't expect any honor, because people do not know how to honor me. Real honor is that you are servant of Krishna. That is real honor. And if I say your majesty, your honor, your lordship, they are all false. Real honor is when I call you that you are servant of God or servant of Krishna. That is real honor. So self-discipline and constantly endeavoring for perfection. This is the perfection. Always and be situated in self-realized condition, that I am not this body. This is perfection. Actually this. But due to my ignorance, I am identifying with this body, therefore I am not self-realized. So, constantly endeavor. This cannot be attained all of a sudden. One has to practice. It is a fact. But one has to realize this fact by endeavoring. That is Krishna consciousness, practice. All this yoga practice, or philosophical speculation, or anything, all practice charges to one point, that I am spirit soul, aham brahmas, I am Brahma, I am not this matter. This is perfection. A man who has made sufficient progress to this realization, these are more perfect. This is way of perfection. And assured of liberation in the Supreme, in the very near future. One has a simply, if I am realized, then this material composition of this body is dispersed, and I am the spirit soul, small particle, and immediately promoted to the spiritual sky. There is a high perfection. In the spiritual sky, either you remain as a small spark of spirit soul, molecules, just like there are millions of molecules of shining matter in the sunshine. So, if I remain as molecule in the Brahma Jyoti, that is also possible, the impersonalist wants that. Or if I enter into some spiritual planet and associate with the Supreme Personality of Godhead, that is also another spiritual existence. Although both of them are spiritual existence, this spiritual existence is impersonal. To remain as molecular part of the Brahma race or spiritual race, that is impossible. And to have a spiritual form just like Krishna and Vishnu, that is another spiritual perfection. That is Vaishnava level. And Nirvan, the Buddha philosophy is just above the material conditional life, but on the margin of spiritual existence. That is, Nirvana means void of material existence. Nirvana, this impersonal conception is also Nirvana. Therefore, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said that this impersonal philosophy is another phase of the void philosophy. Covered and void philosophy. impersonalism is covered whiteness. They are all the same. Shankar's philosophy of impersonalism and Lord Buddha's philosophy of void is almost the same. Real life, real spiritual life is this Vaishnava philosophy. Vaishnava philosophy to associate with the Supreme Personality of Godhead face to face. Just like we are sitting here face to face, you are talking, you are hearing, you can have this perception. That is personal conception of spiritual perfection.
Verses 27 to 28. Shutting out all external sense objects, keeping the eyes and vision concentrated between the two eyebrows, suspending the inward and outward breath within the nostrils, thus controlling the mind, senses, and intelligence, the transcendentalist becomes free from desire, fear, and anger. One who is always in this state is certainly liberated.
Now, here is a hint of the yoga practice, shutting out the external sense objects. This is another process. But the bhakti yoga process is automatically yoga process. Here it is said, shutting out all external sense objects. Sense objects, what is a sense object? Just like I want to see some beautiful woman or beautiful man. I want to smell some nice flower or scent. The flower is the sense object, woman is the sense object. There are so many sense objects. We have got 5 senses and there are 5 objects also. Otherwise, what is use of sense? Now, this yoga practice is to withdraw the senses from the sense object. But the bhakti yoga process is that if I do not like to see artificially the beauty of woman or man, if I try to see the beauty of Krishna, naturally my this propensity of seeing beautiful man or woman becomes extinguished. You do not require to shut your eyes. There are so many beautiful girls sitting. I do not require to shut my eyes. If my mind is concentrated on the beauty of Krishna, I can see these beautiful girls as Krishna's gopis. That is another vision. So artificially, if I close my eyes and if some beautiful girl is in my imagination, or even after closing my eyes, see her. Then what is the use of closing your eyes? So by force, you cannot control the sense. That is not. This is, there are many instances. Even great yogis, they have failed. But this is artificial way of controlling the sense. The real sense control is that you purify your sense in the activities of Krishna consciousness. That is real sense control. Rishikena Rishikesa Sevanam Bhaktiricha. Rishik means senses. And Rishikesha means Krishna. When you apply your senses for satisfaction of Krishna, then it is called bhakti. And when your senses are engaged in the service of Krishna, it cannot be engaged otherwise. Otherwise, the sense will be engaged in the sense objects. Therefore, there is failure. Those who are not engaged in Krishna consciousness, simply artificially trying, they face Vishwamitra Muni, Dudbhasha Muni. There are many great instances. These are artificial. But that is a process recommended we may be successful to a certain extent. But in these days, it is very difficult to practice such things. Nobody can practice how to control the senses from the sense object. So, you have to employ your senses in the service of the owner of the senses. Krishna is the owner of the Hrishikesh, the lord of the senses. That people, they do not know. I am thinking that this is my eye. These are my eyes. But actually, these are explained in the Upanishad. Just like the sunshine, when the sun sees you, you can see the sun. Now, at night the sun does not see you, so you cannot see the sun. You cannot see the sun, you cannot see anything, because the sun does not see you. Similarly, the Upanishad says, when Krishna sees you, or Krishna sees, then you can see. That's why I have got this spectacle. The spectacle is not seen. My eyes are seen. Therefore, spectacle is seen. Similarly, actually, all the senses are acting because Krishna is acting. As long as Krishna desires that these senses will not work. It will not work. So in spite of your claim that this is my hand, this is my eyes, this is my nose, it will not work. So the people, they do not know. The bhakti yoga practice says, Hrishikena Hrishikesa Sevanam Bhakti. When you employ your senses in the service of the proprietor of the senses, that is called bhakti. That is called bhakti. So that is real yoga, bhakti yoga. Otherwise, artificially, if you try, one or two may be successful, but mostly they will fail.
Verse 29. The sages, knowing me is the ultimate purpose of all sacrifices and all purities, the supreme lord of all planets and demigods, and the benefactor and well-wisher of all living entities, attain peace from the pangs of material misery.
Yes, this is the summary. That the sages, sages means those who have undergone austerities, penance, and many tribulations for attaining perfection, they are called sages. So sages knowing me as the ultimate purpose of sacrifice. Now if you perform austerities and penances, that is a kind of sacrifice. But, yadichyantam brahmacharyam charanti. In the Bhagavad Gita, you will find these are expressed that jat ichanta, simply by desiring to go back to home, back to Godhead, one is supposed to follow the bhava brahmachari. Brahmachari, to lead the life of celibacy. This is called brahmachari. So, it has got so nice effect that if anyone from the birth to the death simply observes this life of celibacy, he is sure to go back to home. Simply by observing one. Yadichyantam brahmacharyam charan. It is so nice, brahmacharya. So, this is sacrifice. Sacrifice means my senses dictate that you enjoy. But I am not enjoying. This is sacrifice. So, the ultimate end of sacrifice, ultimate purpose of sacrifice is Krishna. So, one who knows, the sages knowing me as the ultimate purpose of all sacrifices and austerities, the Supreme Lord of all planets. We are electing president, kings and so many things, but actually the proprietor is Krishna, our Lord. So one should know it. all parents, demigods, and the benefactor and welfare of all living entities. In the Vedas, it is said, Eka Bahunang Vidudhati Kama. Now, the state is arranging for supplying the necessities of the citizen. How many? The humankind only. But does it mean that the humankind is the only living entities in this world? There are many millions and thousands of living entities besides the living humankind. So who is supplying them? Necessities of life. Therefore, well-wisher of all living entities. You can supply food to a certain limited number of living entities. But Krishna, or the Supreme Lord, is supplying food to millions and trillions of living entities within the sky, within the water, within the mountain, within the forest. Who is going to supply them? So therefore, He is real well-wisher of all living entities. Why not for you? Therefore, those who are actually saintly persons, they simply depend on Krishna. Why? If Krishna is supplying food to the elephant, beginning from the elephant to the hind, why not to me? I am engaged in His service. He is so ungrateful. If you render some service somewhere, He pays it. Gives you some wages. So if you are engaged in Krishna's service, do you think you shall starve? Why? He cannot starve. He is well-wisher of all living entities. Why not for you? This confidence must be there. If He is well-wisher for everyone and I am engaged in His service, He is not my well-wisher. So we should simply depend on Krishna. We should simply exert our all energies for the service of Krishna. Everything will be all right. This is called surrender. This is called confidence. Krishna will supply everything. Let me engage in His service. Well, attain peace from the pain, from material miseries. And those who are not confident that Krishna will protect me, they are in pangs and, what shall I eat? What shall I leave? What can I do? How shall I protect? They are all, because therefore the other day I cited the verse from Jamunatha. Bhavantam evam charan nirantaram prasantam ishesa datun ratham. Just like the child. The child in the lap of the mother is confident that my comfort, my food, my dress, everything is there. My mother is there. So, natural, not only human being, even cats and dogs, where the mother is there, it knows that my protection is there, conscious. As soon as one grows, peace from the mother, from the father. The so-called independence. Actually, we are dependent on Krishna. He is supplier. He is giving us food, everything. So we must have confidence. That's all. That is training. That is Krishna consciousness. Our only business should be simply to serve Krishna. Then everything is there.
The conditioned souls within the clutches of illusory energy are all anxious to attain peace in the material world, but they do not know the formula for peace, which is explained in this part of the Bhagavad Gita. The peace formula is this: Lord Krishna is the beneficiary in all human activities. Men should offer everything to the transcendental service of the Lord, because He is the proprietor of all planets and the demigods thereon. Nobody is greater than He. He is greater than the greatest of the demigods, Lord Shiva and Lord Brahma. Under the spell of illusion, living entities are trying to be Lord all this pervading, but actually, they are dominated by the material energy of the Lord. The Lord is the master of material nature, and the conditioned souls are under the stringent rules of that nature. Unless one understands these bare facts, it is not possible to achieve peace in the world, either individually or collectively. This is the sense of Krishna consciousness, that Lord Krishna is the supreme predominator, and that all living entities, including the great demigods, are his subordinates. One can attain perfect peace only in complete Krishna consciousness. This fifth chapter is a practical explanation of Krishna consciousness, generally known as Karma Yoga. The question of mental speculation as to how Karma Yoga can give liberation is answered herewith. Working in Krishna consciousness is to work with the complete knowledge of the Lord as the predominator. Such work is not different from transcendental knowledge. Different direct Krishna consciousness is Bhakti Yoga, and Jnana Yoga is a path leading to Bhakti Yoga. Krishna consciousness means to work in full knowledge of one's relationship with the Supreme Absolute, and the perfection of this consciousness is full knowledge of Krishna, or the Supreme Personality of Godhead. A pure soul is the eternal servant of God as his fragmented part and parcel. He comes into contact with Maya, illusion, due to the desire to lord it over Maya, and that is the cause of his many sufferings. As long as he is in contact with matter, he has to execute work in terms of material necessities. Krishna consciousness, however, brings one into spiritual life, even while one is within the jurisdiction of matter, for it is an arousing of spiritual existence by practice in the material world. The more one is advanced, the more he is free from the clutches of matter. There is no partiality of the Lord for anyone. Everything depends on one's own practical performance of duty in Krishna consciousness. This performance, in every respect, should be to control the truth and conquer the influence of desire and anger, and remain in Krishna consciousness by controlling the above-mentioned passions. One remains actually in the transcendental stage, or Brahman Nirvana. The Eightfold Yoga mysticism is automatically practiced in Krishna consciousness because the ultimate purpose is served. There is a gradual elevation in the practice of Yama, Niyama, Asana, Pratyahara, Dhyana, Dharana, Pranayama, and Samadhi. These
These are eight items of yoga practice. Yama. Yama means controlling a senses. Niyama. Following the rules and regulations. Asana. Practicing the sitting posture. Pratyahara. Controlling the senses from sense enjoyment. Dhyana. Then thinking of Krishna, Vishnu. Dharana, fixture, pranayama, breathing exercise, and samadhi, being absorbed in Krishna consciousness. So this is yoga practice. So if one is in Krishna consciousness, from the very beginning, all these eight items are automatically done. If one does not require to practice them separately.
This presence is perfection by devotional service, which alone can award peace to the human being and is the highest goal of life. Thus ends Bhaktivedanta purports the fifth chapter of the Srimad Bhagavad Gita on the subject of Karma Yoga, or acting in Krishna consciousness.
Then he starts. Shall I begin today or next day? This is a new chapter, we shall begin.